Wonderful. Good singing tonight. John chapter 2 in your outline, or in your Bible tonight. John chapter 2 in your Bible. And we'll be looking at Jesus cleansing the temple tonight. John chapter number 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John chapter number 2. Great to see you in church tonight. And hope you've had a good week. And got a lot of things to pray about tonight. But want to look at this unusual story and this unusual event that happens actually several times, and twice to be exact. We'll look at that tonight, about Jesus cleansing the temple. Jesus cleansing the temple. If you hear some beeping tonight, our security alarms are acting possessed. The power went out on the property early this morning. And so when it came back on, it actually alerted the police. And Brother Mark, on his way to Jacksonville, got a call from the 911 dispatcher. And said, how come you didn't answer it? Well, I ain't answering the phone, you know. And I was getting ready. And so anyways, Brother Mark answered it. And then he called me and said, hey, police came by the church and all of that. But for some reason, they're all beeping. And I can't, maybe Brother Paul can, he's good at that kind of stuff. They're all beeping, Brother Paul, and I've tried to turn them off, and I can't figure out how to do it. So if you hear beeping, it's not my hearing aids going off, I promise you that. but something is beeping. I remember when I was just starting off, just reminded myself, when I was 21 as a pastor, I don't know if that was a good thing or a bad thing, but when I was 21 in Boron, California, and we had a dear lady named Alberta. And Alberta was just in her early 90s, and she had hearing aids. And without them, she couldn't hear anything. I mean, nothing. And she had her hearing aids in, but something went wrong with a hearing aid. And right during Sunday school, that thing started to whine, like, very loudly, very noticeable. And I didn't want to embarrass anybody, but it was getting pretty annoying. Finally, another elderly lady from the back of the church yelled out, Alberta, fix your hearing aid. And then we all lost it and had to try to move on with the service. So if you hear the alarms beep, you may not, but they've been beeping all over the property. We'll try and figure it out. John chapter number 2 tonight, and look at verse number 13. John 2, verse number 13. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of my house hath eaten me up. Now that's the first account. We'll look at a couple others tonight. But let's start there. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, it's been good to be in church tonight already for the first few moments to sing and greet one another, and thank you so much for the air conditioning tonight. It's been hot. We thank you for the blessings of having cool air running through the buildings. We pray you bless services tonight here in the gym for the older kids. We pray for those in the fellowship hall with the younger kids tonight, and we pray your hand of protection be upon this property. Thank you for our vans taking them out safely and bringing them back safely. We pray protection upon them as they go back out after church. Pray we listen carefully tonight. Maybe examine ourselves just a little bit. Thank you for the good special, the good singing. We pray you bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody loves the events, the stories, if you will, that remind us about the love of God, the love of Jesus, the grace of Jesus. I think about when the little children, remember that? When the children came, the mother's bringing those just little ones. And the disciples said, no, he doesn't have time. And And Jesus said, bring the little children to me. Aren't you glad Jesus cares for the children? Just loves on them, cares on them. And praise the Lord for that. Maybe the stories of Jesus healing the lame and having compassion on Jairus' little daughter. We think about maybe blind Bartimaeus sitting at the gate of the city. And all the stories we could point to that show Jesus' love and compassion. But John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, from our eyes, show the exact opposite. Here comes Jesus into the temple area, and instead of going up and smiling and putting his hand on people and giving hugs and high fives and all that kind of stuff, Jesus Christ looks around and sees the money changers, those that sold the animals for sacrifice, the tables with the money on it. And the Bible says he made a scourge of small cords. And he went in and began to throw that cord around, those cords around. And he drove out those that sold and took the tables and threw the tables over, and the money went everywhere. Other passages talk about throwing out the people themselves. What a story it is. What was it that bothered, and I'll use that word tonight, I know we're talking about Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. What bothered Jesus in this story to the point where he made such a ruckus, where he threw tables over, where he showed righteous indignation upon the people that were selling and collecting temple tax and all of that? What caused Jesus, we might say, to go berserk? What caused him to just, from a human perspective, go nuts in the temple and do all this? Well, there's a reason why he did this. The temple was a place of worship. The temple was a place of reverence. Here's the bottom line. At that point, the temple court was not clean. And it bothered Jesus that he goes in there, and we find this event here in John chapter number 2. Now let's look at our outline tonight, and I want us to look at some aspects of this story, and may the Lord challenge us tonight through his word. First of all, a paramount, meaning important crisis. This is an important crisis in the temple. John chapter number 2 here, we see that as Jesus responds to what he sees. Now notice the attention to the crisis. Jesus here, in similar fashion, not only does this in John 2, but he does this in Matthew 21, in Mark 11, and Luke 19. Here in John 2, it's in the early days of his ministry. In Matthew 21, Mark 11, and Luke 19, it's at the end of his ministry. So somewhere around the 3-year ministry, public ministry of Jesus, in the beginning of his ministry, he goes in with the cord, throws over the tables, and then some years pass, and at the end, during Passover as well, preparation for Passover, he goes in and he does almost the same exact thing. And that's the attention to the crisis. Just like in the New Testament, or we find Jesus saying things twice, or someone saying things twice, calling someone's name out, or Jesus saying, you better listen. And it's like Jesus, God is saying to us, I'm going to show you something twice. I want you to get it. And I want you to learn from it, the attention to the crisis. And then notice the effect of the crisis. Jesus makes the cord. Jesus throws over tables. Jesus drives out. Now notice in John chapter 2, verse 17, very important verse to the context. And his disciples remember. So they're watching this. They're watching Jesus do all of this. And this is, shall I say, a side of Jesus that perhaps they have not yet seen. The ministry is just getting started. He's just calling out the disciples. And And all of a sudden, they see this, but notice verse 17. And his disciples remember that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Well, that was written in Psalm 69, verse 9. "For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." Literally, what's taking place in John 2 is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Psalm 69, verse 9. And notice in verse 17 of John 2, the word zeal. The word zeal. The word zeal means a jealousy, or it could mean an anger, an attitude to where something is burning inside of you. Now I must say this tonight. Whenever we find a zeal, an indignation, an anger, if you will, coming from the Lord Jesus, and Jesus was always toughest on religious hypocrites. Whenever he gets confronted by the Pharisees, he often lets them have it. Think of some of the names he called them: vipers, whitened sepulchers. And you read about that, and he's strong with them. And the word zeal means jealousy or anger. But I want you to know tonight that whenever Jesus shows indignation, listen, it is always righteous. It is not sinful. Now, you and I, remember what the Bible says, be angry and sin not. How many know if we're not careful, we can easily demonstrate sinful anger? That's why the Bible tells us to be careful, be filled with the Spirit. Are there things to be upset at? How many of you, it bothers you that our nation aborts children? Shouldn't that make us somewhat zealous? And so we see these things and we understand that. But here, don't get the idea that Jesus is in sin, that Jesus lost his cool, that Jesus flipped out in a sinful way. But notice that it affected him. Now, I had a thought today, and we could bring up lots of aspects about why this affected Jesus. Now, we'll get to the aspects of what was going on. But I'll say this now, because we're talking about how it affected Jesus. Notice that it talks about, and we'll see this in other passages, verse 15, the sheep and the oxen. Well, and verse 14, and doves. You know who was able to bring the birds, the doves? Poor people. Poor folks. And remember when Jesus was born, his parents brought him to the temple. And the Bible tells us in Luke 2:24, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, those that could not afford the normal animals, the lambs and all that, they could bring the turtle doves, the pigeons. Here in John 2, the doves. And here were religious people taking advantage of poor folks who just wanted to obey God and worship God. And when Jesus walked into that temple court and saw those priests rubbing their hands as they were making much profit and deception was going on, and the money changers exchanging the currency and raising up the price to an exorbitant amount, that made Jesus zealous. How many of you think tonight God is bothered when people are genuinely trying to serve and worship God, but we see all the hypocrisy, like those on TV that say, just send in your seed of $1,000 and God will bless you 10 times. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says about teachers that they will have a stricter judgment. Book of James talks about that. I don't think God is going to let that kind of stuff get away with. Jesus walked into that temple court and it just came upon him righteously as he watched these people take advantage of these folks that just wanted to honor God with the sacrifice. It's a paramount crisis. Happened two times. And two times, once in the beginning, once at the end, Jesus marched in there and started throwing over tables and more. That's a paramount crisis. Number two, appointed cleansing. Now, what's taking place here in John 2 is we have the scourge, we have the sheep and the oxen, we have the money changers, and he's overthrowing the tables. But there's other accounts. Take your Bible and go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter 11. Same type of event, but this is the later one. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the later ones. John's the early one. You'll notice very similar. But you'll notice something about this one that's pretty interesting that you can easily miss, but notice what several commentators pointed out that I appreciated, and I learned something from it. Mark chapter 11, and notice verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the table. Notice this one, he's casting them out, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not. Now watch verse 16. And would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Now, we often think, boy, Jesus walks in, boom, tables, money's going everywhere, grabs the guys by the collar. I mean, just kind of like how your mom grabbed you by the ear as a kid or the collar, just grabs them and throws them out. He's going at it. He's cleansing. But notice Jesus pointed out a carelessness. And in Mark 11, verse 16, he would not suffer and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. What is going on? Well, one man said this, the size of the temple court, according to one Jewish commentator, said that the temple in Christ's time, the whole temple area, so we're talking the outer court, the inner court, the temple itself, all of it together, which included the courts and the sanctuaries, measured 1,000 feet by 1,000 feet, which is well over, when you put it all together, well over 20 acres of property. How many would say that's probably pretty big? Well, what was happening was people got so careless with what the temple was all about. It was about worship. It was about sacrifice. It was about praise. They had gotten so careless with worship that instead of walking around the temple court, instead of walking around the holy place, what they would do is if they were carrying vessels from the market or from their house, they would take shortcuts. How many like a good shortcut? And they would take shortcuts through the temple court and kind of cut through the area meant for religious activity, sacred activity. They would cut through. And when Jesus saw that they were taking shortcuts through the temple court, that zeal came up. He pointed out their carelessness. In the midst of throwing over the tables, go Jesus, in the midst of grabbing the corrupt money changers by the collars and throwing them out, we like that. But Jesus also here tells people, stop! Stop making shortcuts through the temple court. Reverence. Respect for God. You're using God as a shortcut. Ladies and gentlemen, God is not a lucky rabbit's foot for us. God is not a cosmic vending machine that we can just kind of push the buttons when we want or need something and act like God is a shortcut to get us some kind of success. Now, by the way, aren't you glad for the blessings of God? Forget not all his benefits. But sometimes we think that God is just a shortcut. And we can get careless in our worship. It becomes routine. We can get careless in our devotions. It's just duty. We can get careless in our prayer. Lord, just give me, give me, give me, give me. Carelessness. And the Jews had gotten careless with the reverence of the temple court. And Jesus said, knock it off. That's a holy place. That's my Father's house. Ladies and gentlemen, can I say this? We ought not be careless with the things that are holy. We ought not be careless with the things that God has ordained for us to worship Him. Now, we could obviously make a long list tonight, and I'm sure you could think of the list. We ought not be careless. How about this? With God's name. I think we've gotten too careless. Oh, now don't say it. Oh my, and we use, but then we substitute words and all that. Listen, the Bible says His name is holy. We ought not be careless with the Word of God. We ought not be careless with prayer. And I know you're here tonight, so I'm preaching to the choir, but we ought not be careless with the local New Testament church. We can get careless. Jesus pointed out a carelessness. Also, Jesus pointed out a corruption. Now, let's go to Matthew for this one. Quickly go to Matthew chapter number 21. Matthew chapter number 21. Jesus pointed out a carelessness. Now, He points out a corruption. Same event, but let's go to Matthew chapter number 21 and read a few verses here tonight. Matthew 21 and verse 12. Matthew 21, verse 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. A den of thieves. Notice he calls it the temple of God. The temple of God. This didn't belong to the people. This was first the temple of God. Now we benefit, the Jews benefited, but this was the temple of God. And notice he cast out all them. Now he's throwing the people out. Okay, and that's the text we're in. So what's going on here? Well, several things are going on. First of all, Moses, back in the law, there was an establishment, rightly so, from the Lord for a temple tax. And this was everybody's part to help take care of the temple and the priest and the Levites and all of that. And so when they came for Passover, there was a temple tax. And people came from all over the place. And currencies were often different. Well, you had the exchange, the money exchange. And they would bring their currency, they would bring their money, and they would exchange it for the temple currency. The temple had its currency. And so these money changers would give them the exchange rate. And what would happen is, often, kind of like how Matthew did before Jesus called him, they would hike up the profits so much so that it was bleeding the pockets of the people. So there was the money changers. And then there was the animals that had to be sacrificed. People often came from far away. And it was impractical for them, impossible for them to bring animals, lambs, and all of that. And so the convenience was that when they got to the temple in the outer court, that was designated at that time for the purchase of animals so you could do your sacrifice. But two things went on there. Some of the corrupt priesthood, they were the ones that had to approve the animals that people brought on their own. So if someone did bring their own animals, they had to be approved by the priest. Well, understand that several commentators, as I studied this, reminded the reader that the priesthood at that time was very corrupt. Now, there were some, like maybe a Nicodemus, but many of them were very corrupt. And what they would do is someone would bring their own animal, and they would look at it, and they would see that it fits the bill. It could be used for sacrifice, but they would deem it unclean. And that way, those people, if they wanted to be a part of the atonement, the sacrifice, which every good Jew wanted to, because that atonement was the covering for the year, And so they couldn't use their own animal. Now they had to go buy a new one. And the prices were jacked up, so they had to pay the price, including the temple tax. And the priests were behind all of this. And so Jesus walked in and he saw the corruption. There was nothing wrong with people bringing their own animals. There was nothing wrong with people having to purchase animals for the sacrifice. And there was nothing wrong, per se, with exchanging the money that obviously had to be done. But the people that were in charge of all that, listen, they weren't doing it to accommodate people to worship God. They were doing it for their own gain and their own pockets. They didn't care about God. They didn't care about the worship of God. And Jesus here points out the corruption. In fact, notice in verse number 13, end of verse 13, but ye have made it a den of what? Thieves. You know what thieves do? They steal. You know what these people were doing? These people were stealing glory from God and trying to get it for themselves. The priests weren't concerned about God. They wanted the prophet. Ladies and gentlemen, the day that we are in this thing for the buck over God is the day we become thieves. I understand offerings are taken. I understand tithing. I understand missions. I understand. And by the way, can I just say this tonight? Thank God for good church members and faithful Christians who are willing to give to God to see the ministry go on. Thank you for that. But understand, it's not about the buck. It's about the Lord. And by the way, when you give your tithes and offerings in the offering plate, it's not to be seen of men. It's for the honor and glory of God. It's for the honor and glory of God. So Jesus points that out. They were being thieves. And then, let her see, Jesus pointed out a callousness. A callousness. Notice in Matthew 21, verse 13, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. The house of prayer. Isaiah 56:7 says, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called the house of prayer for all people. See, it was about the heart. Have you ever noticed, like over in Psalm 51, David's psalm of repentance. Remember the whole thing with Bathsheba and his psalm of repentance? Sacrifices thou did not desire. We look at the Old Testament and we think God's just all about the animals and the blood and the sacrifice. It's not first about that. You know what it's first about? The heart of the people bringing the sacrifice. It's the heart. It's always been about the heart. And the Bible says here that his house should be a house of prayer, the heart, for all nations. But what happened? They had made it into a Walmart or a Best Buy, a den of thieves. Den of thieves. And Jesus here points out appointed cleansing. So Jesus returns the focus to himself, to prayer, to the worship of a triune God. Now, number three, practical considerations. What do we learn from this? What do we learn? First of all, there is perhaps here a picture of salvation. There perhaps is a picture here of salvation. A religious temple must be cleansed of internal corruption and cleansed, listen, by the stripes or the cords that were applied to the back of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus was driving him out in John 2 with the cord, with those leather straps. And you know, they applied the stripes to the back of my Savior Jesus Christ. And if it wasn't for those stripes on his back, I would not be saved tonight. Perhaps a picture. You got to get out the trust in religion. You got to get out the trust in the formality. You got to get out the trust of all of this, of tradition. And you got to deal with the sin. You've made it a den of thieves. You got to deal with that. And when you deal with that, you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can be cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. A picture of salvation. But also, as believers who know Christ, we must be careful. We must be careful not to allow carelessness, corruption, and callousness to take hold of the hearts in us. Carelessness could be called laziness. Corruption, greed, sin, pride, and callousness from prayer. Backsliding. Take your Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Jesus wants pure worship. Jesus wants a heart in tune with Him. It's not first about us, it's about Him. We get lazy in our response to how we treat Him. We can cut corners and shortcuts and think we're okay. Greed, sin, and backsliding. Notice 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Let's jump up to... I'd like to read a lot here tonight. But let's just jump up to verse 17. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Now, I'll be careful tonight. No, we're a mixed company. We have young people. But fornication is any sexual activity before you're married. There's only one person you should ever be intimate with, and that is your spouse. That's why you shouldn't live together before you're married. That's why you shouldn't live together before you're married. I like repeat myself lately. I like that. Just get the point across. Remind myself, we ought to take care. Flee. Don't play with it. Flee it. Why? Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, and he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You realize when you do that, you sin against your own body. Why? Verse 19. What? That's the way it's written. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He's talking to saved people. He's saying, listen, young people, listen. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. God, just like in the Old Testament, your body's now the temple. Listen, treat the temple right, because God lives in you. God lives in you. And just like Jesus drove out the carelessness, the corruption, the callousness, I'll remind us tonight that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and He lives in us, and we ought to become a temple, just like that temple, a house of prayer. So also, stay focused on the main point. Focus on making Christ known to the lost. One more passage tonight. Go back to John 2. Let's end in John 2. Let me show you one thing in John 2. I found this interesting. John chapter number 2. John 2 and verse 18. Let's go back up to verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. You know what Jesus did after he drove out and threw over the tables and money everywhere? You know what Jesus did? He got the he started teaching, and in fact, over in Luke, you can read about this. The people came to listen to him and all that. You know what he did? He got the focus back on himself, back on God. You know what our focus should be? This temple? It should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what, in a sense, this temple, this building, I know that it's the brick, and I get it. But you know what the focus ought to be here in this temple that houses this church? You know, the focus here ought to be on the worship of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it should be. So Jesus drives out the carelessness, the corruption, and the callousness. And we ought to make our temple, we ought to make this temple a house of prayer. A house of prayer. Private prayer, corporate prayer, seeking God and His Word. Did I already say one last verse? Did I say that? Can you let me retract that? Can you do that? One more. 1 John chapter 1. I'm sorry. I forgot. I wrote this down. Please forgive me. 1 John chapter 1. If you got a problem with that, it's Brother Ethan's fault. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter number 1. Everybody listen to this verse tonight. Very simple, very practical, very true verse. For believers. For believers. Talking about fellowship. 1 John 1 verse number 9. I want everybody to see it tonight. If there's laziness, carelessness in your heart, if there's corruption in your heart, if there's callousness in your heart, 1 John 1 9 is for you tonight. 1 John 1 verse 9. If we, believers, confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because His blood has already been shed. Aren't you glad there's forgiveness and cleansing found in the Lord Jesus Christ? Look, if there's something in your heart and life tonight, well, Brother Rick, what would you suggest? Here's what I would suggest. If you know something's wrong in your heart tonight, get it right. Confess it. Confess it. He that confesseth and forsaketh the sin shall have mercy, but if you cover it, it's not going to go well for you, my friend. And how many of us can say, growing up in life, in the Christian life, it's always better to be honest and get it right with God first. First. And so tonight, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And tonight, applied as a church, what's our main emphasis? It should be Christ. It should be Him. And tonight, if there's something in the way that you know Jesus would not want there, let Him drive it out of your life. Let Him drive it out. Father, help us tonight. And Lord, I thank You so much for this opportunity to preach tonight, study the Bible a little bit. Lord, as we take prayer requests tonight, we've got much to pray about, and I pray that You please help us. We love You. We thank You for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.